Praise God. Number five, go for the light. Second Thessalonians 2 verse 8 says, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So the author says here that this passage of scripture is talking about intense revelation, which will disarm the mystery of iniquity. You know, it's talking about, you know, the Antichrist, when the Antichrist, once he revealed in the church, it's going to be right during the rapture period. But the he's talking about this revelation that's going to be revealed. And then it says there that there'll be such brightness of light from heaven revealing the weakness of sin to establish the triumphant of the triumphant of the saints. Now, I believe that we're in a time now where revelation is really being unfolded, the revelation, you know, of the message of grace. And I think, and this is the main ingredient that we've been missing, you know, to disarm sin, so that we won't live under condemnation, under you know, having a punishment mindset, thinking that we're always we're under some kind of punishment, God's mad at us. People that I talk to who really been exposed to you know, the revelation of grace, they just talk about how much freer they are. And the thing about it is, it's not a loose free. You know what I mean by that is, you know, it's not like, you know, an excuse like it makes you want to sin. No. It really causes me to know who I am. And so in knowing who I am, it's just like, you know, just like when I look in the Bible, when I read the Bible, I am seeing, you know, the nature of God. I'm seeing, you know, the character of Christ. And I see myself. It's, you know, it's like looking in the mirror. I see myself. I'm righteous because of what Jesus did. And so I'm not going, when I leave the mirror, when I leave the word, I don't forget who I am. Amen, amen. You understand what I'm saying? I am righteous. And he goes on that he says, there's going to be such an electric effect from the spoken word that will liberate totally and completely. And that's exactly what's happening now. That's exactly. I don't know about you all, but there's such a liberty and a freedom that, you know, even if I say the wrong thing to somebody in the wrong way, you know, I'm not walking around with guilt on me all day and stuff. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I don't think that God is gonna get me. You know, I don't say and then what it does is I understand and realize the goodness of God, and I can just go back to that person and say, look, you know, I should have said that another way. I shouldn't have said it the way I said it. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God. See, I mean, it's such a freedom, you know, so you don't even feel condemned. Suppose the person don't accept my power, I don't care. It don't even make no difference. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, you just have this bubbling joy. You understand what I'm saying? And so, Now, listen to me now. The enemy is always going to try to play tricks with our minds. He's going to always try to, you know, make us feel like, you know, man, you know, don't like nothing working for me. Yeah, it's working. Yeah, yes, it is working. Praise God. Is it working? Let me tell y'all what happened to me. This grace is something. I was standing, my wife and I, we were standing in front of the church, you know, after church over, you know, just greeting the people and stuff. And so there was this man that came up. I saw him when he came around the side wall, but the guys that got there, they told him, you had to go get in the line, you know, you can't just go straight up there. So the guy, he had a hat down on his head, you know, and he looked like somebody just come off the street, you know, just kind of looked like, you know, a street bomb or something, you understand? So, I'm thinking, I said, I wonder what he want. I'm thinking the whole while I'm talking to these other people. What he? So he in the line, and he's there. He got his head down. He just got his head down. I said, what? I'm talking to me. I'm laughing and talking and stuff. My mind's still on. What do you want? So he had to wait about 35, 40 minutes before he got up there to talk to me. And so when he did get up there, he kept his head down. He came up and whispered to me and said that, you know, first he said the Lord said that he pleased with you. So I'm thinking that I'm saying, oh Lord, it's one of these, you know, coming, he'll come up here talking about the Lord and saying something. And then he said, keep up the good work. And then he grabbed my hand, and now I'm really looking, you know. And he put a fistful of $20 bills in my hand and say, the Lord said, that's more where this came from. And walk straight out with his head down, just like this here. I said, now, you know, you really have to be careful. Because I'm thinking the man got something else on his mind. The Lord has sent the man here to bless me. I'm suspicious of the man. You know, that's why you know, the message is so liberating, because we have the Lord even teach us through lessons like that. You can't judge folk. You don't know what God is doing. And another thing is, you know, this is what I heard as soon as the guy left. That God can get anything to anybody from anywhere at any time. I said, okay, talk, speak to me, Lord, speak to me. You know, but it is something. See, now I never would have thought, you know, he was coming to do that. See, that's why you can never tell where God's gonna send something to you from. That's why it's not even, you know, some people are real stingy when it comes down to giving and that kind of thing and stuff. And if folk only knew, God always trying to set us up. He always trying to set us up. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God. So it's just the grace of God. I said, Lord, you know, it's just my goodness. And I had a man call me today. He said, Pastor, he said, you're not gonna believe this. I said, yes, I will. He said that the VA sent me a check, and he said, I get a check every month. He said, but they upped it $700 a month. I said, praise the Lord. He said, hold on, that's not all. He said, I get a phone call, and the phone call, he said, somebody, they said, they asked me, say, what's your name? He told him what his name was. I said, what's your address? He told him his address. I said, who is this asking me all this here? And then asked him, you know, what his Social Security number was. And he said, what you want? He said, look, he said, this is the VA, and we finna deposit money in your account. And so he said, what you mean you're gonna deposit money? He said, yeah, we got $41,000 that we're gonna put in your account. So he said, man, stop playing with me. He said, I don't know who you are. He said, but don't play with me like this. And man said, no, I don't get paid for playing with you. He said, I get paid for, he said, this is, we found that we had some back pay that we owed you from years ago. He said, and I am the one to bring the good news to you. He said, but I don't hear you hollering and screaming. He said, well, hallelujah. He said, well, I still don't hear you screaming. He said, I'm trying to process it. And then I said, my goodness. He said, but that's not all. He said, then they're going to remodel my house. They're going to pay for his house being remodeled. I said, wait a minute, you got a $700 increase. You got $41,000 they put in your account. And then they're going, this message of grace is just setting me totally free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's just God just trying to show us that I can do more for you than you can do for yourself. You know, we trying to take credit for everything. God said no, but I'm gonna do something. You're not gonna be able to take credit for this. Just give me the glory for it. Yes, sir. Just let God said you. God said I can just get one thing from you. Let me have your boasting. I want to take your boasting from you. I want your boast to be in me. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, man, my goodness. That's what I know that's gonna be testimonies gonna break out everywhere. Hallelujah. Well, I see y'all not gonna be part of the testimonies. Y'all just dry. Okay. Hey, yes! I'm gonna be a part of what God is doing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it says that in Psalms 119 and 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple. And this light shines in darkness. Darkness can't handle it. So when God's word is fired in your heart, the struggles end. The struggles end because that light shines in darkness and darkness can't comprehend it. Now, when the word comes with intense revelation, all wickedness of the enemy is subdued. Hallelujah. Then the sixth thing there, he talks about listening to your conscience. Listening to your conscience. So he said that 1 Timothy 4:2, speaking lies of hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, their conscience is dead. Your conscience is the scale of justice. It tells you what is wrong. Let me go to share something with you about your conscience. Now, your conscience is that which is within you that knows good and evil. Your conscience understands justice. It understands that when there is sin, sin must be punished. See, all this came with the fall of Adam. You with me? When they were in the garden, man developed a conscience. And so your conscience really will condemn you. So this has also led man to punish himself for his sins. So a conscience that is typically expects punishment is a conscience that is under condemnation. So there are both believers and unbelievers who are defeated by guilt and condemnation. But the difference is that the believer who has Christ as the power and the power of the finished work of the cross can reject any accusation, any guilt, any condemnation thrown at him by the devil and by his own heart. Because how many of you know the Bible says when our heart condemns us, how many know grace is God's grace is greater than our hearts when it condemns us? I mean, your conscience will straight up condemn you. So we have to understand that we really have to get the word of God in our consciousness. Yeah, we got to get the word of God in our consciousness. You know, I mentioned this to you before. You know, this old saying, you know, let your conscience be your guide. But if you don't have the right information, your conscience could be a bad guide. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. So our hearts have been sprinkled from by the blood of Jesus from an evil conscience. Now, evil conscience is one that is perpetually conscious of sin and failure and typically expects punishment. It is a conscience that is under condemnation. Instead of being sin conscious, we can be forgiveness conscious. Yes. Amen. We can always be conscious of our righteousness in Christ Jesus, even when we fail. Hallelujah. Praise God. My goodness, man. You mean to tell me, Lord, I don't have to be all guilty and stuff when I fail, I don't have to be trying to prove nothing to nobody. I don't have to be, you understand? That put competition, everything to the side. You understand? Well, Christ, the only one going to be getting the glory. Amen. He's the only one that deserves the glory. Yes, hallelujah. And so that is, excuse me, when that light really come in, and we really begin to see it. That's why, I'm going to tell you something. Now, you can get a hold of you know, the message of grace and think that, okay, I got it, but you may not have it. It takes a really, let me tell y'all this. Let me tell y'all, let me explain something to y'all. Can I explain something to y'all?
Yes,
I was sharing this with somebody today. I've been saved since 1980. I've been preaching since 86. And the law mixed with grace, been preaching it. And see, that's one thing. First of all, you got to admit. You can't have too big an ego to, you know, say, see, some people not going to see this revelation because they don't want people to know, you know, well, you know, I missed it. But all that time, I learned, man, somebody had to go to hell. Somebody had to burn. And then if you were around here struggling, you know, trying to do the right thing and other people doing all right, oh, man, I'm standing out the club. You going to club? Oh, you going to burn. Come up in here every Sunday and stuff. You know, we just fuss at the people and stuff. And all we were doing was strengthening sin. So it really, I get up 4:00 in the morning. And I'm studying about this grace. It's hard to put on because, I mean, you have to be able to, you know, because your mind got to be renewed. That's why you got to keep on. You got to keep on with this word and stuff because that condemnation is still up in there somewhere. And it's still looking for the fine fault and that kind of thing and stuff. So the word is the only thing that's going to wash that out. It's the only thing. And so you have to keep on. You have to keep on, keep on, keep on. And the thing about it is it becomes more refreshing. The more and more you get it, the more and more you get it, the more, Lord, my goodness, Lord, you love me so much. Today, my sister, she was going down, I don't know, road somewhere, and a concrete truck hit her car, and she said, she turned that thing with a turning around, she said, she said, I just knew I was gone. She said, but all of a sudden, it stopped turning, and I was over in a safe place. And she said, you know what that was? I said, yep. She said, that was the grace of God. Hallelujah. Didn't get a scratch. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling y'all, I'm talking about, it does not mean that we're not going to have some challenges. But victory is so sweet. How can you know how good God is if you had not ever been through anything? How you know he can bring you? How you know he can bring you out if you have not? If you're not really, how you gonna have a testimony? You not really had a test yet. How you gonna have a message and you haven't been in a mess yet? God will turn it around. I'm telling you, he'll turn it around. Glory to God. Because we are victorious in every situation. Every situation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why we can't. I believe this with all my heart. I believe this. I believe that. I won't go tell you what I believe right now. Because I got some I want to say along with what I believe. All right. A good conscience feeds on the life of Christ and gives you confidence to draw near to God with a true heart. In full assurance of faith that God is not angry with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got a full assurance of faith. I know that God is not angry with me. Hallelujah. I know it without a shadow of a doubt. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whew. Okay, yeah. Yeah. A good conscience feeds on the life of Christ and gives you confidence to draw near to God with a true heart and full assurance of faith that God is not angry with you. Hallelujah. See, because a condemnation, really, it'll rob you of your intimacy with God. It'll rob you sure as the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, even going in God's presence is not, you know, it was almost like, you know, we struggle to get in God's presence because, you know, we got to get through all of this stuff that we, you know, we think that we got to, before we can really get in the presence of God, we got to confess every one of our sins. And suppose we forget one. A tool. Suppose we forgot something. And, you know, so we're thinking, I wonder if this all, you know, I want to do the right thing. Lord, I want you to forgive me. And then you just say, Lord, just forgive me for everything. I don't know what all I did. But when you know that your sins are not holding you out of the presence of God. And I know that when I go in the presence of God, I'm not going in the presence of God. I'm not trying to get God to do something for me. He already did it for me. Hallelujah. So it's almost like, you know, if you had a neighbor, you know, and you're always going over to the neighbor house getting something. You know what I'm saying? You always, you know, I need some flour. I need this. I need that. You know, every time you go there. But it's just like, you know, going over to the neighbor house, just saying, I just want to sit down and talk. I just want, you know, just want a fellowship. Tell God, Lord, you done it all. You done it all for me already. Listen. You know, I may be going through something, whether it's my body or whatever stuff, but I know that you already taking care of it. So I thank you for that. And then because the Bible says that we are kings and priests and we can speak and declare. Hallelujah. See that's the thing. Okay, we already know. Okay, as it relates to healing or whatever it is that you're believing, you receive from God. Okay, our faith, we already know our faith got to be in the finished work of Christ, got to be in that cross, right? All right. So now my faith is there. So because I know and I believe, I believe and I receive it. I don't have to achieve it. You with me? He's already done that part. So I began to start declaring it. I just start talking about it like it's already manifested. You understand that people really don't know you, they think, you know, that you kind of a little bit off your rockers a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? But the Bible said we call those things that be not as though they are. Glory to God. I mean, just hallelujah, glory to God. You understand? I passed through the house. I said, you know, you paid off, huh? I just passed through the house. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I just talked. You know, say, Lord, how much? He, no, I'm not. I'm just letting you know. Praise the Lord. You know, you paid for. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, because, amen, there's some bigger things I want to do for the kingdom of God. And I know I have to have somewhere to stay. So this debt here got to be, it's got to be gone. I got to be free from this. Lord have mercy. And see the thing about it is, so we see our giving, you even more excited about your giving because, amen, you know, I'm a partner with God. I'm partnershiping with God. I'm a partner with God. God, all I'm doing, amen, I'm a part of the greatest work here on the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. To promote the gospel. Amen. To give. Amen. So that, amen, this kingdom can be advanced. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means that when I go out there on the job, whether I'm directing traffic or police or whatever and stuff, whether I'm out shoveling or whatever it is and stuff, that work is converted into cash that I can use to advance the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, let me go back. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. So, my goodness, hallelujah. So, Paul said that in Acts 24:16, and herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and men. When you have challenges and stuff, you don't be careful. See, a lot of times the devil will talk to you and he'll say things, he'll speak to you and he'll put things in your mind, but those are not your thoughts. But he'll get you. He'll get you to think that it's your thoughts, and then he'll get you to accept the thoughts, and then you'll start saying it, and then it become yours. But see, many times, listen to me. Many times, the enemy is saying things. It's not you. It's not you that's saying it. It's not you that's thinking these thoughts. It's him. So that's why we got to be able to pull on these strongholds. That, you know, when the enemy is trying to, because many times what he'll do is something a go on or something happened here, and he'll say, grace, huh? Mm-hmm. You're under grace. If you're under grace, say, don't you believe nothing what the preacher said? God's still punishing. What you think this is? All of a sudden, I had a man I talked to the other day. He just say, I say, how you been doing, man? I hadn't heard from him in a while. He said, I'm just mad. Pastor, your pastor. I'm just mad, man. Things ain't been working and stuff, man. I said, who you mad with? He said, well, I said, it's the Lord you mad with? Well, it ain't really God. You said my ministry ain't moving like it's supposed to be. This ain't happening. My money ain't flowing like it's supposed to be. And I'm doing all the right things. I say, see, you going back to works. You trying to take credit for it. Yeah. Or you better go to that cross. You better go back. You better realize. You better grab a hold of some grace and let grace empower you to be able to get through whatever you get through. Because guess what? When you really understand grace, you ain't said. The Bible said, come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm not coming to God, you know, squealing and begging and asking and, oh, Lord, you know. I remember in the Baptist church, boy. Now, I used to be a Baptist deacon. And, man, I used to start off praying right there by the deacon's bench. And before you know it, I'd be way over there. I'd crawl way over there praying, begging the Lord. Oh, Lord. I said, Lord, have mercy. I thought thinking about it. I said, Lord, have mercy. Lord, I'm just so glad you had mercy upon me. I mean, just screaming and hollering and begging the Lord. Lord. And the folk in the church, they scream, ah, Lord, yes, yes. Lord, have mercy. I say, boy, that's just crazy, man. Lord, have mercy. Boy, religion is a beast. Yes. So we have to be careful when we're going through things, not to get offended with God, and then don't blame folk for what you're going through. I don't care. No. Cause, amen. I believe this here. This is what I was finna say earlier. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that. Okay, that's time when we make wrong choices, and so. When you make wrong choices, you know, that's consequences, right? Okay. But the thing about it is this, is that I believe that God knew before I made that choice, he knew I was going to make it. But I believe that God already had prepared a way for me to come out good in this situation, even though I made a bad choice. The Bible say all things. It doesn't say something. It says all things work together. So it may not be good, maybe a bad choice I made, and it may be consequences, but God, in that consequence, God will allow, I'll get some experience from it. I know not to go this way again. But then the Lord will, he'll cause me to come out in a good place, even though I made a bad choice. Hallelujah. Man, listen to me. The gospel, that's what the gospel is good news. What we've been hearing. Lord, this ain't been no good news we've been hearing. Come on, y'all know I'm telling the truth. Lord have mercy. Man, how is good news, you know, when you're telling folk, you know, went out all night last night and you know, you throwing, you know, I've been there. I did it. I'm telling you, I did it. You're shacking. time to stop shacking and start packing. You know, you just, you know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, just, you know, because you're hell bound. You know, ain't nothing good about no news like that. But just preaching fire and brimstone and stuff, sending folk to hell. And, man, you know, I had to tell, I said, Lord, forgive my ignorance. Lord, have mercy. But the thing about it is, you know, I just went to him like a father, you know, and say, Lord, you know, I'm sorry, but I already know that he already forgave the ignorance.
That's right.
I'm already in good shape.
That's right.
I got a question I want to ask y'all. All right. If I had a pill that I could give every person in here that would make you a good Christian, how many would take it? I want you to raise a hand. I don't want you to say, how many would take the pill if it would make you a good Christian? Okay, all right. I heard one or two people say, I will. All right, right. Watch it. Okay. Why would you take something to become something you already are? See, excuse me. I'm already righteous.
Yes, sir.
I am already holy.
Yes,
because of what Jesus did.
Yes.
I'm already holy. So the apostle said it last night. He said, why are we still trying to become something that we already are? So I don't need no prescription, no pills to become a good Christian. I'm already that.
Right.
I don't need something to make me something that I already am. So the thing about it is, see, somewhere in our consciousness, we think that we have to do something for it. So if it's taking a pill or taking something for it, I got to do something so that I can produce that. But Jesus already produced it on the cross. It's already been produced. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wait a minute. Hallelujah. I'm going to see something. I'm going to show you something. Lord Jesus. So he talks about the power of choice. So he refers to the power of choice as the power that keeps a man, the seed of God inside. So Colossians 1 and 3 says, had delivered us from the power of darkness, had translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. Yes, indeed. Sin has no hold on you anymore. Romans 6 and 14 reads, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but under grace. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, he says that holiness and purity is a charge to make. And he says that, and a vision to pursue. It is a covenant life of choice. Now, when it comes down to, this is me saying this. That's trying to make a choice. The only choice that you can make to become holy is accepting Christ. You with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right, right, wait. What is holiness? The conventional understanding of holiness is that it is about doing right. But check the word holiness in the original Greek and you'll find that it means separation to God. So therefore, being holy means that you have been set apart, made uncommon from the rest of the world of unbelievers. Hallelujah. So God does not require you to search your heart and locate your sins before you can worship him. The psalmist said, David cried out, he said, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. So he was asking God to search him. He wasn't searching his own heart. I got to search my heart and make sure, you know, everything is. No. David cried out, told the Lord, Lord, you do it. You search it.
Amen.
So in any case, today, all that God finds when he searches our heart is our righteousness in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Man, that's good news. Listen, you know, David was crying out. That was the old covenant. He was crying out, Lord, searching my heart. You understand? And because David know he had did some things. And so David wanted to be right with God. So he's asking God, you know, search my heart. But If when God searched our hearts today, the only thing he's going to find is our righteousness in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's good news. It's good news. For he sees you as righteous, holy, and forgiven. He's already declared, your sins and your lawless deed I will remember no more. So, question, how do you see yourself today? Are you more conscious of your sins, or are you more conscious of your righteousness and what Jesus' blood has done? So now, tradition has taught us to be occupied with self, but grace teaches us to be occupied with Christ. And the more you occupy with yourself, the more dejected, oppressed, depressed you become. From whichever angle you see yourself, you'll see ugliness, unworthiness, and disqualification. To be occupied with Christ is to turn away from self and to see Jesus. He's like a precious diamond. When you hold him up in the light of God's word, whichever way you turn him, he sparkles like rays of beauty, perfection, righteousness, holiness, and wholeness. Hallelujah. So look away from your own frailties and see Jesus, because the word says, as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. Man, it is just so wonderful. Lord, have mercy. You are made holy because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. I'm holy. Praise the Lord. Can't nobody talk me out of this. Can't nobody talk me. I am holy. What? I am holy. I'm holy. I'm the righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. And this is another thing that we have to develop, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, patience. We have to have patience with other people. We have to learn how to be patient with other people. You know, because sometimes if you're not careful, that law boy have you, you know, here you come again. You know, came in drunk last Saturday night, here another Saturday. You're gonna hop up and go to church in the morning. I'm just tired of this. Y'all don't praise the Lord. See, I mean, you have to come to a place where, you know, praise the Lord. When they come in drunk, you know, you the righteousness of God. Get on up from there, you know, throw it up all over the place. You're all on your knees and stuff. Get on up from there with your righteous self. Get on up with your righteous self. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, this does not mean. Watch this. This does not mean that I don't talk to them and tell them, you know, this may be wrong, but we have to learn how to do it in a more compassionate way. We have to learn how to do it, not judging, but in compassion. You understand? See, because the only reason that God does not want us to walk in sin, because sin destroys. You know, and the apostle said something the other night, not last night, but a couple of weeks ago. He was talking about Abraham and Lot. You know, and so today I was thinking about that. I was thinking about a person who, you know, is a person who's saved and have a revelation of grace and grace is empowering them, and they're flourishing. See, grace will cause you to bear fruit. You with me?
Yes, sir.
Religion will cause you to be a nut. I mean, you know, there's a difference between fruits and nuts. You know what I'm saying? But the apostle was saying, so I saw this so plain. I saw, you know, just like a person, you know, a person who, you know, they're walking in grace, they're flowing in grace, and they get down the road years from now, and they don't look like they've aged much. But this other person over here who really, you know, made made a lot of bad choices. And then, you know, because you got to understand this. You're going to always have people that's going to abuse grace. You always had abusers of grace. So it don't mean that they're going to hell. But this person over here down the road may look old and wore out and that kind of thing and stuff. And they just and they younger than the other person who just flowing in God's grace. Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, just old and just wore out, but just gone through so much and refuse to depend on God and trying to still do it their own way and stuff. You're going to be wore out doing it your own way. I'm just going to tell you right now. Yeah. Just think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Think about if you got to labor yourself, or if you got somebody over here that's laboring for you, that did all the labor for you, taking all the strain and stuff off you. And then, you understand, I see this church, I see people getting old, but they don't look old. I see people still, you know, they're not walking all bent over and stuff, and they're walking straight up, got age on them. Yes, I'm telling you, this grace going to do something for some folk. Yes, hallelujah. And we the people, glory to God. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, glory to God. I'm so happy, boy. You know, I thank the Lord for this school.
Yes, sir.
You understand? I thank the Lord for Apostle, man. Man, Lord, have mercy. I thank the Lord. I ain't talking about nobody. I don't judge folk no more. But I'm so glad to have the spiritual father I got. I've been under some other folk. But I'm so glad, praise the Lord, because if he hadn't got a hold of it, then I wasn't going to be listening to nobody else. That's why it's always good for you to have somebody who you respect enough, who you love enough, who can tell you, we took the wrong path. We got to go this other way. And you trust them.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And see, this one thing about the apostle, I've been following him for 17 years now. I've probably been following 14 faithful. You know, when I first started off, you know, I was going to this conference, that conference, trying to find out what they're doing here. I was trying to go where they had the biggest crowds and all that kind of stuff. And that's all it was, crowds. I'm just telling you the truth. It's true. But, man, when I started following the apostle, and, man, I saw a man that was just hungry for God. I said, my goodness, man, I ain't never been around nobody like this. And he just hungry for God, man, just always searching, because he loved the people so much. Till he wanna see, God has blessed him, but he really wanna see the folk blessed.
Yes, yes, yes.
So he always digging. He said, "Got to be something why something ain't happening right for the people or something." You know what I'm saying? So he's not a person who will let denomination, will let big names or nothing stop him from following God.
Amen.
I'm gonna say this, and then I'm finished. The apostle has walked off some of the biggest stages that people will die to get on. Okay, all right, y'all got like y'all don't, you understand? Man, them big stages that he was on in Madison Square Garden in front of all them people and all of them, and then just the Lord said, okay, your season is up here. I got some other things for you to do, and just walk away from that. Man, this is what most preachers been living for, to get here, and you walk away from it. Because it's about following God. It ain't about following no big name.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
So I saw the track record. You understand what I'm saying? Well, can't nobody tell me nothing. Don't even try.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Don't even try. Praise the Lord. I ain't about to listen to you. So what I'm saying, I'm so grateful to, now, if he your apostle, that's fine. But I'm grateful to my apostle.
Yes, sir.
I'm grateful to God that God, and one thing that he never do, he never try to take credit for anything. He always giving God the glory. Always doing it. Man, it taught me something, man. I mean, I've been around preachers who've been trying to take credit for everything. And trying to, you know, want to be the big this one and that one and stuff. Let me tell y'all something. I said, well, you know, if I ride this kind of car, if I stay in this kind of house, that'll make me, you know, among the preachers that's, you know, that people say that's successful. That ain't no success, man. No. Your success is following God.
Yes.
And knowing who you are. And knowing that Jesus Christ been crucified and that finished work of Christ is so, my aim is to do what God has called me to do in the earth. It ain't about all this trying to show yourself to be somebody and all this and kind of stuff. Hallelujah. I just wanna, Lord, I thank you for my apostle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And know what? Y'all know I told y'all this before. I'm from the street, so I'm not nobody who just saying stuff, you know. Maybe the apostle will look at this. No, man. Man, I'm just telling you the truth, man. I'm religion and all this old foolishness, man. We done been through all these years. Man, I'm just so glad to be free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And boy, Lord, we about to walk into something, man. I'm telling you, we about to walk into something. I'm telling you, hallelujah. Glory to God. You don't know. You don't know what God got around the corner that he's about to do for you. You have no idea. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll go to chapter 7 next week.